And you are listening to Law and Gospel on October the 8th in the year of our Lord, 2013. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and since it is a Tuesday, it's Rumination Day. And with us, normally I say it's the Reverend Dr. Mark Smith, but today we're going to say it's Eagle Scout Mark Smith. Hi.
Hi, Tom. How you doing? Yes. It's a beautiful day, isn't it? I'll tell you, it's a beautiful fall day. It's lovely weather, isn't it, out there? And we've got the Cardinals back here tomorrow.
Oh, there's football tomorrow?
Yes,
oh.
Yes. Only you have to go to Arizona to see the football Cardinals.
Oh, it's not the football Cardinals playing?
No, it's the baseball Cardinals.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not too much into that, as you can tell.
Yes, I know.
But
it's too bad they don't sponsor White Castles. You'd really be.
Oh, I'd be there all the time.
All the time.
I mentioned you as an Eagle Scout because today some news broke that is very interesting. I'm just going to read the headline. It was in the Post-Dispatch. Missouri Synod will honor Boy Scout policy on gays. We have talked about this at some length. I'm not sure it was when you were on, but I remember when this first broke that they were going to permit gays into the Boy Scout Association. So tell a little bit about the background of you being an Eagle Scout. How did that come about? Was that within a church also?
No, that was actually, you know, I'm an Air Force brat and proud of it. My dad was in the Air Force for 20 years. And
well, I know you're a brat, but I...
Yeah, it's what they call them.
Yes.
Air Force brats. And I tell you, we grew up on Air Force bases, and they had scout troops. One thing they had, you could be sure they had on the, they had theaters and they had scout troops. An Air Force base is like a self-contained community, and they have everything for the families. They take care of the families, and they have scout troops. And in fact, the base I was on actually had two, one for the Mormons and one for everybody else.
If you would like to call in about this, the number in the St. Louis area is 821-0850.
Or 1-800-730-2727.
That's right. And we're talking about Boy Scouts and their policy on gays. Now, a lot of people are under the delusion that what the Boy Scouts said is that you have to have homosexuals not only in the Boy Scouts, but tolerate their teaching, their behavior, and this sort of thing. But when we were talking about this some months ago, we actually read from the Boy Scout manual, and there were a number of items. The first one was that no gays could be leaders in the Boy Scouts.
That is correct.
That was the first item.
Right.
The second item was that, and we had found this in the Boy Scout manual, that no Boy Scout authority can supersede the authority of the local pastor.
Right. If of course, the troop is being sponsored and hosted by, you know,
a
congregation or church. Right?
Yes. And so what really surprised me as I took a look at this were two things. Is Matthew Harrison, who is the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, actually signed an agreement with the scouting.
Chief Scout Executive, I believe.
Yes.
Co-signed it.
And here's what it says. It would allow the church to remove from troop boys who are advocating for a moral view that is inconsistent with the church.
Yeah.
Now, that also would be true. We've already had that policy. For example, if in the Boy Scouts we had somebody who didn't think that stealing was bad.
Right.
And he was always doing it. Do you recall any time I went through Cub Scouts?
Mm-hmm.
I never went to Boy Scouts, but I believe there was at least one time that somebody was told not to come back anymore because he just wasn't following the rules properly.
I can't remember that ever happening. Not an Air Force base.
Oh, no.
We had guys that would come back. I'll tell you, we had guys that would not come back to the troop because it was run by GIs. Up in Newfoundland, it was run by guys that taught the airmen Arctic survival.
Wow.
And they were demanding and they were rough. They treated us like recruits.
Yes.
And I can remember, you know, some of these scouts, it was a little too rough for them.
We see that on TV every now and then where the sergeant is really quite tough on his people.
They were good.
And so I can see there that some fellows decided not to continue in the program.
But, we'd play pranks on different different groups in the troop, and we'd get disciplined.
Yes,
and there was discipline in the troops.
They have what's called a memorandum of understanding, and that is between the church, that's the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, and the Boy Scouts, saying no Boy Scout authority, quote, supersedes the authority of the local pastor, and who as part of the agreement is authorized to enforce set boundaries up to and including removal of boys from the troop.
Right.
So I know the point I was trying to make when so many individuals, when they first heard this, saying, boy, we can't have, you know, homosexuals within the Boy Scouts. And my point was, we allow other sinners. And also in Sunday school, we don't make a distinction between sinners and non-sinners.
Yes, but I'll tell you, I've thought about that point, and I was on the show there with you, Tom, when you made that point, and I thought, boy, it made a lot of sense to me then, but you know, the thing is, Scouts, you've got 11-year-old boys, and you've got 17-year-old boys. That's the concern that I would have. I understand this agreement. And as I said to you before we went on the air, I'm concerned about how this is going to be carried out. I'm concerned that pastors of congregation that have these troops, that they're really going to follow through and make sure that, you know, what do you do when these kids start talking about, well, homosexuality is permissible in society. What's wrong with it?
Okay, tell me what you do then, because you have a parochial school when those conversations start.
Well, then you do discuss it, and it's important that we do discuss that.
Then why not do that with the Boy Scouts?
Well, that's right. I think you have to use caution when you've got 17-year-olds in there with 11-year-olds.
But we do have that in our parochial schools. Our high schools, for example, you have 17-year-old. You have younger people, never heard any congregation get upset when they find out that, you know, our policy is open to homosexuals or anybody else in our parochial schools. You know, we don't deny anyone on the basis of sexual preference, but if they're going to be pushing it in the parochial school,
that's my point. Then it has got to be. You know, it's got to, what, for better word, I can't think of a better word. It's got to be policed. I mean, the pastor has to make sure that these boys are not influencing some of the other boys in the troop.
Just
in
like we do with parochial school children.
Right, right.
Yeah, so I don't see a distinction there really at all. My good friend Tom Eckstein, who wrote the book, excellent book on homosexuality, he makes the point that what really helps homosexuals to change their behavior, young men, uh-huh. is to get involved with other men who are not homosexual. Mm-hmm. Because by and large, like you've seen this even in the public schools, mm-hmm. You tend to stay together with your own group.
Yeah.
And if you can only get a mix in there with conversation... Mm-hmm. He has a number of situations where people left the homosexual movement because of the ability and the privilege of being around others who were not homosexual and they had good conversations. So,
well, I tell you, maybe it comes down to you're a little bit more the glass is half full. I'm a little bit more the glass is half empty. I'd be a little less inclined to have my kids in a troop when I knew that there were two or three homosexuals in there with them. I'd be a little concerned about it. And I think there are a lot of people who feel that way.
But you send your children to a school where there are more than that. Why do you do that?
Well, they're older, for one thing. They're more in high school. And I have instilled in them right and wrong. And taught them the facts of life. They have some steel in their spines. In fact, you know what I find? All you have to do to get a kid to tell the gospel in a public high school, in a proper, permissible way, yes. is let them know, hey, you know, you can't talk about these things in high school. And they will talk about them anyway.
Oh, yeah. That's for sure.
This is one thing that concerns me about, you know, if these kids come into the troop— And they're told, well, I can't say anything about my homosexuality because this is a church troop here, and I can't say anything about homosexuality.
Nobody says that. Mm-hmm. We would encourage them to talk about it. And so,
you would?
Oh, just like we do in Sunday school.
Okay.
Vacation Bible School.
All right.
Parochial school. You always got people. For example, you know, Paul makes that point that the church ought to stay away, you know, from unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened, people started staying away from friends outside the church, and Paul corrected them. He said, no, I didn't mean, I'm talking about in the fellowship of the church.
Right.
That's one thing. But you cannot have that rule outside the church because you couldn't be...
Right. We got to be in, but not of the world.
Yeah. For example, you could never take your kids to McDonald's anymore because I'll tell you, most times I go there, it's kind of obvious if there are homosexuals there.
Right.
And so you almost have to take them out of the world.
Right.
You have to
instill in your kids what's right and wrong.
That's right.
So that when you go out into these public places, they have to be aware of those things. Yeah.
And I think President Harrison really hits the nail on the head when he made sure that the pastor has the right to do what is normally done kind of congregation. Yeah.
I just hope that pastors do it. I know how busy pastors can get, and, you know, particularly if they weren't a scout themselves, they might say, well, you know, that's not so important. And so that's what's important. It's got to be carried through. There's got to be, you know, the pastor has, if they've got a troop under the auspices of that congregation, the pastor's going to have to take an integral part in that.
But I'm talking about, for instance, Bart Day is the head of our national mission, and he's quoted in the newspaper, and I think what he says is really good. He first says, the vast majority of LCMS congregations have been waiting for some guidance from us. He said sexuality wasn't an issue in scouting until the Boy Scouts of America made it one.
That's right.
But we think the church can still be active in the Boy Scouts. The church does not exclude people based on their sexuality.
You know, that, I read that.
Yes.
You know, that can be misunderstood.
Absolutely.
And he's talking about sexual inclination.
No.
Isn't he?
No. I think he's talking.
Isn't he talking about how we're inclined sexually, or is he talking? Oh, what do you mean? The church excludes from communion somebody who's an adulterer. What are you talking about?
When people hear the word church, they're not talking about altar and pulpit fellowship.
Okay.
They're talking about, can I come to your church?
Oh, sure.
Pastors? Well, that's what he's saying. We do not exclude people based on their sexuality.
So, well, we do exclude them from the Lord's table if they're an impenitent adulterer.
We do not exclude them to come to the church.
No, in fact, we want them to come to church.
Then why don't you see that in the...
Because people will say, well, what do you mean? I can't commune. What are you talking about? You're not exclusive. I don't think that's entirely accurate.
No, the point I'm making is the church is open to all people regardless of their sexuality and their sin.
Absolutely. I would agree with that.
Okay, so that's all that Reverend Day is saying here is...
But it's misleading because it's like we permit anything. That's the way some of these mainline congregations are becoming. They permit anything anymore. You know, nothing is wrong at all. You know, couples can get married if they've been living together for, you know, I mean, nobody's drawing any lines anymore at all in some of these churches. And that's not where we're at.
I think that's exactly where we're at. The church does not exclude people based on... How many homosexuals have you confirmed?
Oh, I don't know of any.
I've done four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there might be some that have left the church later on, but...
No, I've done four who I knew they were homosexuals.
Okay.
So
were they? They were no doubt penitent, believing.
Well, sure.
Individuals, right?
Yeah.
Struggled with their homosexuality.
That's right.
And I have no problem with that too. I would welcome them to the Lord's table.
The church does not exclude people. You almost sound like the Pharisees angry with Jesus with the prostitutes.
No, I'm talking. No, I'm
now, wait a minute. Those prostitutes were not repentant, Mark.
Oh. No, what are you talking about?
Where Jesus sat with the prostitutes and the tax collectors.
Right.
They weren't repentant.
Right. Not yet, though, right?
Well, who knows? Some of them went
we
to hell,
know.
I'm sure.
No, right. He would talk with them, sure.
He sat and ate with the tax collectors.
That is true.
And the Pharisees who didn't believe in him.
That is true.
So I agree with you.
If Jesus doesn't exclude them, how can we?
Well, I'm not saying, hey, no, you don't confuse the issue.
No, I'm saying...
We want those people to come to church, even if they're impenitent. Absolutely.
Why don't you want them to come to Boy Scouts?
Well, I guess I am concerned as a parent, and I would think you would be too as a parent.
No, I would not
I am concerned about my kids sharing a tent, going to a camp out where you've got these. I mean, I'm just genuinely concerned
about
that.
But that's happening now, even before the Boy Scouts made this issue, because 10% of people have homosexual tendencies. So you know that's happening, and, you know, there are people in there. But I can't believe that my sons, no matter what age, would ever, you know, start doing things that are wrong. And remember, you've got the supervision of the Boy Scout leaders.
Right. And one more thing I would say.
Yes.
These youngsters at this age are very, very impressionable.
But then you'd have to
sexually
say...
Sexually as well.
No, then you'd have to say you can't have them in Sunday school, homosexuals.
No, I'm not saying that.
But they're impressionable.
There, I think the pastor has a little bit more direct involvement. I have my doubts. I'm sorry, but I have my doubts with all the duties devolving on a pastor. I have my doubts as to whether pastors, you know, you call a pastor to congregation. Okay, is he going to feel as strongly about scouts as the last guy? Is he going to carry through in his involvement with that?
In the Missouri Synod, he will.
I hope he does.
Because he would be breaking his vows if he didn't.
Well.
If you're making your whole argument that pastors don't keep their vows, then we got a bigger problem. Then you better exclude them from all areas of the church.
I think that had better be included in the call that he's expected to have direct authority and interaction with those Boy Scouts. I think that better be part of the call statement.
Well, it is, because if it's a Boy Scout troop in the church, he has authority over all aspects of the church. That's already part of it.
Well, I understand why this statement was made. I understand why this agreement. I think it's the only thing that we could do, really, given this situation.
No, but we could have just rejected it.
I have my doubts as to whether it'll work.
All right, well, let's try and get some wisdom on the phone here. Let's start with Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Pastor Tom. I don't know about wisdom, but I certainly have an opinion on this.
Go.
Having been a den mother and our sponsor was a Methodist church, we never saw the pastor or the minister at that church ever any time. He didn't exercise or anything, didn't even know when we met or anything like that. And I think the big difference between inviting people who may be homosexual into the church or into Cub Scouts is that people who come to church expected to be preached to. People who send their children to Cub Scouts do not expect them to be preached to, and I would imagine they would not appreciate things that are not on the regular Cub Scout agenda, you know, the things that are in the handbook. And when it comes to getting your badge for religion, whatever it was, as I recall,
God and country,
the child goes to the pastor designated by his family.
Yeah, in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the pastors are very involved. When I was in Cub Scouts, we had Bible studies with them. Now, if
that
the United Methodist
at that time would not have sent my child, I wasn't a Christian then, so I'm coming at this from a different point of view, trying to understand.
Right.
And I also don't get people who think a child as young as who would be in Cub Scouts is gay. You know, that one creeps me out because I think people are laying too much on children these days of all kinds of things, and yet no responsibility.
Okay.
You know, can't even have them make their bed or help with the dishes, but we're going to try to nail their feet to the floor about what their sexuality is before they get to high school. This is ridiculous.
All righty.
Thanks
for your remarks, and we're just going to move on down and see if we have a kind of a different point of view or the same view, and we're talking with Mark. Hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Pastor. Let me put my cheeseburger down.
Just had a couple questions. You know that the prostitutes that Jesus ate with were not unrepentant. And then number two...
Oh, they were.
Jesus...
No, there's no indication in the Bible they all were repentant. He didn't just
wait,
eat
wait,
with...
He said not unrepentant. What?
That means they were repentant.
Okay.
And there's no evidence of that in the Bible at all, Mark.
Yeah.
No, he would. He always ate with unrepentant people.
Yeah, that is true.
Remember the Pharisee?
I agree.
You know, he got all mad
at
Jesus.
That's right. He would go wherever he was welcome.
Okay, one last question. He ate with unrepentant people, but when he went to the temple, he was a little upset that there were money changers there, so he drove them out.
Right.
Good point.
How does that relate to this situation?
Okay, we'll talk about that. Mark, how would you suggest to relate to that?
I would say they were getting in the way of, you know, my father's house should be called a house of prayer, and you have made it
exactly.
A den of thieves. There was graft going on, there was deceit, there was, and also getting the clinking and the clanging and the sound of animals was getting in the way of true worship.
Then how could he go to that woman who was caught in adultery and say, "You who have no sin, cast the first stone"? That doesn't seem to be the same kind of attitude he had in the temple.
Well, she wasn't in the temple.
I know. That's the point. These homosexuals aren't in the temple. They're coming to a group. And particularly if the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is clear that our goal is to help them out of that homosexual addiction. That's going to be well known by everybody.
Yeah. Oh, given,
I would have no
that,
problem.
Given that, I agree with you.
Okay.
But I'm saying we had better follow through with this.
Yes.
And pastors cannot be lax. Somebody better be involved in that troop that is adept at theology.
Maybe I'm just looking at the church that we were working with that actually sent a letter to the Boy Scouts. The people who were involved, they didn't have a pastor at this time, were lay people who really understood Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And normally in a church that has a Boy Scout group, it's members of the church that are taking the kids out on the camping and this sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have some good people involved in the leadership of that troop.
Or if why you've got... now? Because the situation isn't changing at all. We used to have no problem with homosexuals. Now that they've made an issue of it, we're still getting the same homosexuals in the group. You know there's homosexuals.
I think there's
even
a difference
right
in so far as the Boy Scouts organization itself has basically welcomed this.
Just like the church does. In fact, I believe
I don't think the church welcomes homosexuality.
Oh, absolutely. We welcome
prostitutes. We welcome the people, but we don't welcome that homosexuality, even if it's, homosexuality is still a sin, Tom, as you well know.
But so is gossip. So
right, we don't welcome that either.
Oh,
that in the church.
No, if you gossip, you're not welcome at
our
church.
No, you're misunderstanding
me. No, I'm not.
We welcome the sinner, but we don't welcome the sin. That's my point.
Of course we welcome the sinner and the sin, so they can be forgiven. We don't exclude people because they're sinning.
We endorse sinful behavior?
Of course we don't.
That's what I'm saying. We don't endorse
it.
Don't welcome it. We realize we realize that people are going to be sinners. We realize that. We realize it's sinful. But we don't endorse it.
We endorse their repentance. I, a poor, miserable sinner.
Absolutely.
And
I agree with that.
But no church should be excluding somebody because they're unrepentant.
No. But the altar rail at
nobody's
the
talking
Lord's
about
table.
The altar rail. Well, everybody knows you don't go to the altar until you become a member of the church. But we're not talking about that. What Bart Day is talking about is the church, as he says, does not exclude people based on their sexuality, based on any of their sins.
Okay. All right.
In fact, you do know that repentant homosexuals will become communicant members of the Lutheran Church and still have that sin within them because of the addiction.
The inclination, yes.
So what do you mean you're not welcoming them?
We don't endorse the sinful behavior.
We're not talking
That's
about
what
endorsing.
I'm talking about.
So you're saying
we don't just say, hey, that's okay.
But you're saying that to endorse, to welcome homosexuals is endorsing their behavior. And that's never true in the church.
No, that is not true. No, I'm not saying we should exclude anyone from worship. As long as they're
safe. Me a lot of times.
I know. I think we're on the same page sometimes, and then you'll say something that, well, Tom, what'd you say that for?
Yeah, because we're a church that welcomes, you know, they welcome you, Mark.
What you've got to watch is confusion.
Yeah, but you're causing the confusing. When Bart Day says the church welcomes, that's not confusing at all to me. No. But you bring in a liberal notion of welcome and say that's how it could be understood. Well, then just correct it.
Okay.
He doesn't mean
that
at all.
That's what I'm trying to do.
And that's what we did. So once more, we have a wonderful opportunity here of, what do we call this hour or half hour?
Rumination.
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 Where you and I always agree on the issues. So...
You weren't a scout, so what do you expect?
No, I was a Boy Scout. I was a Cub Scout, yes. And so, okay, well, next week we'll have someone else with us. But no, we're going to have Mark back, that's for sure.
Hey,
yes.
Don't forget, we've got Reverend Don Matzett preaching on Reformation Sunday, 9 o'clock.
Is that this Sunday?
The first speaker of Issues, Etc. That's Reformation Sunday, 27th of October.
All right. God
o'clock.
Bless everybody. Thank you for listening.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.